Banana.
Banana,
Banana.
Banana. That's from The Office.
Banana. Banana.
Oh, please tell me we're not actually watching the film and you're just going to reenact it like this.
All right.
From beginning to end.
Fucking hell. Can you believe it? From the streets of London, here we fucking go.
Can you, Adam and Eve?
Of one of our fucking things. What on earth is going on over here?
I'm actually quite excited now. From that opening, I'm quite looking forward to this film. I kind of went into this. Oh, yes.
I'm being interrupted for my cinephilia.
I'm Johnny Ellis, and I am movie mad. I actually have a can of Red Bull on me for once. Oh, no, it's not Red Bull, it's Red Thunder.
Well, yes. I do love to ride the thunder.
Who doesn't?
What flavour is this Red Thunder before the reveal?
It's sugar-free, which makes me feel like a pussy, but...
Wow. Wait.
But I am
hold
Ill.
Up a second. I think that's a questionable term, please.
Sorry.
Let's keep it clean. I only used the F word a couple of times.
Yeah, it's just regular. Yeah. It's your regular energy drink. But I got gifted it by a colleague because I've been home for a week now with COVID. Because why the fuck not?
I just took a break.
You took a break?
Yeah.
A Kit Kat.
Yeah. Remember those adverts? The little Kit Kat bites.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham would tell you about the tortoise. And it would waddle along and take a break. And waddle along and take a break. And it lived to 100 years old. 150 years old. And he'd teach us that. It's important to know what Jason Statham would do for money. Because this is Are You Movie Mad? A podcast in which we watch films. And we find out if Johnny Ellis is mad about watching a movie. Or he's movie mad for it. And today we are discussing one of Guy Ritchie's first non-Statham movies.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of Guy Ritchie, what I've seen of his.
Well, we know you've seen Swept Away twice a year.
Swept Away?
Yeah, you watch it before and after you go on a holiday every year. You're like, oh, Swept Away. I want to remember what one romance is like between Guy Ritchie and Madonna. And two, what holidays are like. Like when you get swept away.
I forgot he did the Sherlock Holmes films. They're good. They're good films, those.
One of them's good. The other one's, as the kids would say, mid.
Wait, which one's the good one?
Which one do you think is the good one?
I would say the second one.
Yes,
of the
it
two,
is.
The second one's the better one. The
second one is a good film. It has more points to it. Has something going on. It is not just like, isn't it mysterious, Mr. Holmes? What's going on around here? Is
Why haven't they done the third?
Really evil and magic?
Why haven't they done the third of those?
Well, they almost got there.
Yeah.
Dex was going to do it for a bit.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, no, it kept getting close. It was an edging franchise.
Yeah. I wonder if they will ever do it.
Yes. In a couple of weeks' time, Downey Jr. will ascend to the podium, grab his giant golden statuette and go, now we've been lit. Sherlock Holmes, a case of gold on stage. And then he hits someone with over the head and says, and here is your murderer! And he just spoils the film right there. It all happens on ITV1.
Okay, I've just looked and I have seen all but sort of the main... Well, no.
Okay, hold up a second. So the Guy Ritchie filmography. You're saying the main, all but the main.
Yeah.
All right, let's think. What is canon Ritchie?
All right, there's...
We know, of course, that The Covenant is not canon Ritchie.
Okay, so there's five that I've not seen.
Wrath of Man isn't.
And I would say... Three of them I would consider main Ritchie. So those two are two
Thing
of the
up,
five.
Legend of the Sword, of course, with the gigantic elephant horn beasts.
So you're three for three right now.
All right. Are we so going for the David Beckham films? Because he's in that. He's in The Man from UNCLE.
We've got two. Oh, wait, is that three more? Three more, sorry. Three more. There were six. I think, yeah.
I'm spinning around the chambers because this is like... The Beatles, the four Beatles in their four movies. It's Revolver.
Yep. Not seen that one.
Yeah, do you know why?
Why?
Unwatchable. I've seen it a bunch of times. I cannot tell you what that film is.
I saw the title and I was like, oh, I've heard of that. And then you mentioned the Beatles. I said, that's why I've heard of it. Yes. I've heard of the album.
You've heard of the album. You've heard of the concept of the weapon.
Yeah.
And you've heard of Revolver Entertainment, I'm assuming.
Oh, I've also not seen Swept Away, but I didn't.
We noticed. You've definitely seen Swept Away. Right. You're shaped. Yeah, you were the voting committee of the Razzies in 2000.
Sorry. Yes, and. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, and.
Yes, and. Yes, and. Is and your nickname?
Yeah. Right. Some people go by Roo. I know a Kanga who has a little one.
So there's two more that I've not seen.
Is one of them with Vinnie Jones?
I would imagine both were with Vinnie Jones, but...
I was going to ask, and is the other one with Vinnie Jones? That was going to be my bit.
Okay, right. You had me confused for a second. I was like, oh, is Vinnie Jones only in one of them? Because I've not seen them.
Yes. Okay, so you haven't seen X-Men The Last Stand, and you haven't seen Escape Plan. And you haven't seen Gallivant, the TV show on ABC, the musical show.
Guy Ritchie's X-Men The Last Stand.
I mean, it was almost Matthew Vaughn's X-Men The Last Stand, so let's face it, it almost was.
I would have loved to have watched that. But yeah, Lock, Stock, and the other one.
Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, and the other one, because I've just...
So you haven't seen the two films that have thus far had TV shows based upon them.
Oh, yeah.
I say that because the Gentleman TV show has yet to accumulate, but it is soon, I believe.
I believe it's next month or in a week or two.
Yeah, well, there you go. This is timed.
I'm quite intrigued about the Gentleman TV show because I like the film.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a big difference for us, then.
Do you not like the film?
I think it was an ungodly mess of a narcissist.
I don't remember much, but I've seen a couple.
Oh, well, there's the desk, there's the table, the grill table, the big grill table with the food and everything. That was like the big product placement thing. Because Guy Ritchie and his friends have invested in an outdoor barbecue table thing, as they have a whole sequence with Charlie Hunnam is showing Hugh Grant the table and having a conversation as they grill meat and talk about how they grills.
I don't remember
and
that.
It just feels like that's the only thing. It's like, Jesus Christ, this is more of an advert for this than any other plot going on. Feels too racist.
There's two clips that do the rounds when I do my hourly run of Facebook reels and Instagram reels because I have no life.
Yeah, it's not that you have no life. You have an addiction. And the first step is to say you've got an addiction. The second step is to call you out for having an addiction and make your life worse for feeling bad that you have an addiction.
Yeah, we've not got to the first step yet. I just said I have no life. I didn't say I have the A word.
An ass.
An Andrew.
You do have an Andrew. You do have is it prosthetic? You have to ask all the Irish people now. It's Barry Keoghan.
How fucking awkward was that interview? Jesus. And the fact that you asked Natasha Bedingfield.
Penis, if you think that's his biggest penis.
He's not seen many. He can't even see it.
That's an affliction a lot of us have.
And he asked Natasha Bedingfield as well.
Really?
I hope he asked DiCaprio and Spielberg and I just hope.
I don't think it's a prosthetic. I just think I'm pathetic.
That sounds like Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I'm at the BAFTAs. I'm gonna win a BAFTA. Here I go. Killian. God damn you, Killian.
I thought that was your Spielberg.
I can't do Spielberg. I keep calling him up and instead Cher answers and I have to hang up the phone again. God damn it, Cher, what do you want?
Where was it? The two clips from The Gentleman that pop up. One is Colin Farrell.
Yes.
Farrell. Colin Farrell's introduction scene where he's in the cafe and a load of lads come in and he sort of teaches them a lesson or two.
They don't know how they're going, do they? They don't know what they're up to.
And then, that's quite fun actually as well because he's saying you gotta have more quips. Is they called quips? You gotta be quick. And then, That was quite fun. And then the second scene is where Charlie Hunnam is chasing down a load of boys I don't know what they've got. One of them's got something. A phone. One of them's got a phone that he needs.
I got one of my phones and I gotta get it. I can't do a Charlie Hunnam impression. Can you do a Charlie Hunnam impression? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking directly to listener Charlie Hunnam. Can you do a Charlie Hunnam impression? What voice are you doing? Ever.
And like the one lad runs away and then he catches up with his other lad friends and the lad friends are all together in some sort of gang and they're kind of going, sending Charlie Hunnam to fuck off. And he is like, listen, all I want is the phone. And he goes, I've got some money. Here, I'll give you £1,000 for that phone. It's worthless to you. I'll give you money. And they say, go fuck yourself. And then he goes, listen here, cunts! And he gets out his machine gun and scares the shit out of him. Yeah. So that's those are the only two moments of The Gentleman that I remember.
So you don't remember the sequence, the one character, the one female character in the film, Michelle Dockery's character.
No.
Who is then?
Oh, I just about remember.
In a sequence is, you know, there with at Matthew McConaughey's office, and then Henry Golding comes in. It starts to become a rape sequence.
Oh.
She's the one female character, and suddenly she has to be the point of sexual violence in the film. And that's it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bad film. Hate it.
See, whenever those two clips come up, I think to myself, oh, maybe I should rewatch that film before the TV show comes out.
And Hugh Grant is always talking about how it's like a movie.
All right.
Eddie Marsan is a newspaper editor.
Oh, Eddie Marsan.
Who gets drugged and then he watches a video of him getting fucked by a pig or pig fucking.
Well, we do like a bit of Eddie Marsan. Enra Ha,
but then it just does the Black Mirror thing. And it's just like, this is just not... Where's the fun? Where's the joy? Where's the joie de vivre?
Joie de vivre? Ooh la la.
I know. I speak French, don't I?
In it?
Yeah.
So, of
course, we're talking about the one we didn't discuss at all.
Yes.
The one that was, like some of these, meant to become something more than just its own thing. It wasn't just going to be a one film.
Yes. Rock and Roll Out.
Rock and Roller. Now, do you know the titles of the follow-up films planned?
Rock and Roll Low, Rock and Roll Lee, Rock and Roll Row Me.
I believe at the end of this one,
it
even gives you the heads up about the next one, what the next one's going to be called.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, I saw Mark Strong and Guy Ritchie promoting this film, and they were, you know, real adamant about it and, you know, full thing, and they were talking about the planning of the entire trilogy. Ooh, and they told us the titles of the next two films.
Okay.
So it was Real Rock and Roller.
Okay.
And then Rock and Roll Star.
And is there no chance of that happening ever?
This came out in 2008. I guess you can say now is 2008.
But Kill Bill came out in 2003, and I still hold out hope that one day we'll get Kill Bill Volume 3.
Okay, right. Well, do you think convince Gerard Butler and Tadway Newton and Idris Elba and Tom Hardy and Tom Wilkinson to return for this film?
Oh, those nobodies. Yeah, they don't need the jobs.
Yeah, I know. They're all desperate. Yeah. I saw that Tom Wilkinson. He was so desperate for a job, he just sat down in a cafe during every episode of the fucking Full Monty Show. God, he was gagging for a gig. He didn't even get to do anything. He didn't even get to do anything kind of.
We didn't even get funny. To see his penis.
He didn't get to see his cock one last time. I watched him in the bedroom. He's not good. Give me something. Give me a Tom Winkison.
No, I forget he's gone now.
I don't. The last celebrity death of 2023. Mm.
What will be the last celebrity death of 2024?
Me, I'm going to become famous. And then I'm going to become infamous.
I don't know what to think about this Rock and Roller. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. Well, let's think, how long is it? Because if it's more than an hour 45, I'll be annoyed.
Well, let me tell you, I was thinking it's probably only an hour and 40 or something, isn't it? And yeah. Then I looked up how long it was. And
an hour 20, is it an hour 20?
That's why. And it's 115 minutes. It's just, it's an hour and 55 minutes long. And yeah.
Okay, well, 10 minutes of those would be credits. You know, not for the special effects.
I've got bad news for you. The special effect is getting the cast together.
Hey.
And also speed ramping. They probably have to put a lot of credits in for speed ramping. This film
speed ramping
has so much just random slow, fast, slow. It's like an episode of Green Room.
Well, now I'm sold because I love Green Room.
What do you love most about Green Room?
I love that it's like Scrubs, but better.
No, it's not. Scrubs is funny and heartfelt and has characters that are consistent the entire way through.
Yeah. That's exactly what Green Wing is. And Dr. Alan Statham.
Who's that?
Mark Heap.
Okay. How does he sound?
Well, he sounds like his brother. Like this. Who's his brother?
I assume Dr. Jason Statham.
Yes. Dr. Jason Statham. Now, that I'd like to see.
Yeah, you should punch hard, damn it.
Is Statham this? He surely is.
Oh.
No?
Oh. No. This was 2008. He had done Transporter films at this point.
Oh, right. He's so 2008.
He was in Death Race.
Death Race, Jesus.
He was leading the Death Race, motherfucker.
Did we do Death Race as a...
What you have to remember is Machine Gun Joe is evil. That was a clip that got played twice at the same movie con that rock and roller event occurred at. And
we'll talk about that
afterwards.
Yes, I'll be intrigued to hear about that. Because I never witnessed... MovieCon. I had tickets once and then something happened and I got annoyed and I got a refund and went to Ireland instead.
Do you like Ireland?
And then Tim Minchin was at the bloody premiere for Cowboys and Aliens and I was like, you kidding me? So yeah,
I avoided that screening.
Mm.
Everyone else was excited to see that film and I knew it was gonna be rubbish. I didn't care to go and see Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. Not for that.
Yeah, that's fair. I would have gone for Tim.
I almost saw Tim Minchin years ago in a very small room and I avoided it.
Oh, yes, the podcast thing.
I could have done, I went and did something else instead. It was much better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I still, well, I did see him in a very big room twice in the O2 playing Judas. It's very good. Ooh. And he wasn't auto-tuned like he is on the DVD.
Good gosh. There is some sort of shock and horror here, eh?
Yeah. So, Rock and Roller. Rock and Roller.
Any idea what this might be about?
No, I was just about to say, I think it's something to do with casinos, gambling of some sort. It looks
if I tell casino-y. You that Total Film, in its 4-star review on the back of this Blu-ray, mentions this Guns, Girls, Geezers, Guy Ritchie returns to diamond form.
Oh, okay. Is it?
Does that help you?
Is it a secret Reservoir Dogs prequel? And this is what happened in the heist.
In the heist?
But they never explain why they have English accents before the heist. And
they don't
American
just have
accents.
English accents, though, do they?
They have
most
English
of
bodies.
Them have proper English accents.
Proper English accents.
London accents. And one of them doesn't, because he's Gerard Butler.
Oh, yeah.
Gerard Butler never made an accent.
Does he sing?
Turn into Scottish.
Does he sing his whole way through it?
Well, Jeremy Piven's in it, so I'm assuming he sings Jeremy Piven.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm trying to think who's... I'm looking at, like, the poster, the small version of the poster.
Now, which small version of the poster are we seeing here?
The one that's on your Plex.
Okay, right. Well, could you just explain it to me rather than give me information like that?
Sorry. Sorry. I was about to go into detail, but I thought you were asking which exact poster so you could look at it as well.
No, I want you to describe it. I was looking at my Blu-ray and seeing, is it the Blu-ray cover?
Okay, so you got Gerard Butler with his arms a bit outstretched.
Does he look like he's an ape man about to shit?
Yes, looking off to the left. Maybe that's where the toilet is. And then you got...
our left or... Stage left.
Our left.
Okay, he's right.
Yeah, stage right. And then you got Tandoori Newton. with a really long arm, because look, she stretched out her arm, and then on the other side of Rashida Butler, there's the one with the gun.
What's the point about her hair?
It's a bob. Does she play some cool bob?
Is she Bob?
Is she Robert?
Is she Robert the Robot?
And then that looks like Steve-O behind her.
Yeah. I can't stand that.
That's Steve-O. Oh, the faces are getting smaller now.
The guy in glasses.
Yeah, the guy in glasses.
Balding guy with glasses.
That's Jack Nicholson. Yeah. And then the two fellas.
Two fellas. Now, that's not on this, you see, the two fellas.
Oh, really? There's two fellas. Yeah. It's behind,
there's two fellas behind Jack on Nicholson. This.
So they are some sort of double act.
Okay.
I will say Morecambe and Wise. The two Ronnies.
Oh, man, so that is small.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to work out.
Well, they are two Ronnies.
That might be Piven and Chris Bridges.
Okay.
Sorry, that's ludicrous.
Sorry, I keep forgetting to mute when I cough.
Yeah, what on earth?
I did it once. So far, I remember when we were watching the movie when I don't need to mute. I'm just on, and you know I can't focus on anything but the performance.
Well, Steve-O is Toby Kebbell.
Toby Kebbell,
lovely Toby Kebbell, legend.
Was he in
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, he was. Right. Okay, right. Yeah, that's the only thing
and
I know.
Kong Skull Island. He does the apes.
Yeah.
Any kind of monkey movie, he's there. So hopefully he's in Dev Patel's directorial debut.
Was he in Fantastic Four?
Was he in Fantastic Four?
He played Doctor Doom.
Well, Victor Vaughn.
Victor Vaughn. As his friends know him, VV.
VVD.
VVD.
I say double VD. How's it going? He says, stop calling me that. Get out of my office. My face has been melded into a mask, and I do not like any of this space bullshit anymore. I said, that's fine, that's cool, and I'm going to hang out with my best friend Pedro Pascal. And he said, that's a stretch.
Hey, but I wouldn't recognise him if I saw him.
Yes, you would. You recognise him and go, yeah, he's cool, I like Toby Kebbell.
Does he look like a monkey?
He smells like one too.
Or does he have a silver mask on his face? Because otherwise I wouldn't know who he is.
Well, you would know, because you watched all of season 4 for All Mankind. So you are so ingrained in his storyline that, as a a blue collar worker in on Mars, starting an uprising because of bad payments and union fees.
What? That's what For All Mankind is.
That's what season 4 of For All Mankind had partially. On top of hey, there's an asteroid full of good material. Now Mars, the people in Mars are being told to push it towards Earth's atmosphere so they can take all the stuff. But the people of Mars are also like, wait a second, why don't we just grab the stuff and take it away? We don't have to be adhering to the laws of men now. We're on Mars.
Just adhere to the laws of Martians.
Yeah.
I thought that show was good. I'd heard good things about
it. The first two seasons are fantastic. The second two seasons are soap opera.
Yeah. Do you know what I started the other day while I've been off sick?
Focusing on this, yep.
I was talking about TV shows.
My fault.
On Sunday, just gone, I saw that they were advertising the next episode of True Detective. And I thought, oh, so I can catch up with True Detective this week.
Now, when you say True Detective, what do you mean?
Oh, Night Country, is that what it's called?
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. So I thought to myself, it's Sunday night. I've got over a week until the final episode because the penultimate episode is airing tonight. So I did two or three episodes of the first season. God. And I was like, right, I'll get on that Monday and Tuesday and I'll power on through. Mm. And then I wake up Monday and then I see headlines about, oh, this is what happened in the season, in the final episode of
Night Country.
And I was like, oh, well, there goes that plan. And I've not.
Yeah. And also, you remembered probably watching those first few episodes. Like, oh, yeah, this was boring.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, this wasn't good.
it didn't grab me, but I was like, okay, I'll do it for the hell of it, just to get through it before the final episode of this new season.
An eight-hour movie, it did not need to be 8 hours.
Yeah, and then I found out I'd missed the final episode, so not missed it, but it was, I could have still done it. But...
No, Zaslav has locked it in the Coyote Vault.
I wouldn't be surprised, fucking Zaslav.
No, they've got season 5 of True Detective.
Yeah. But
weirdly, it will be Matthew McConaughey's returning, and this time he's going to be finding out what happened to Coyote. He's this tunnel is a flat circle, and then he runs right through it.
You'll never crack that case.
The special features for this Blu-ray, just to give you a heads up on what this film might contain. It has a commentary from writer-director Guy Ritchie and co-star Mark Strong.
Okay.
Has one additional scene. Will you put the cigarette out? No question mark.
Okay.
Blokes, burrs and backhanders inside rock and roller in high definition.
Oh, in high definition. Okay. Oh,
yeah. It's 2008, this Blu-ray. Maybe, so it's like, HD is new. Guystown, the director reflects on his fascination with ever-evolving London in high definition.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You want more? That's it.
That's it.
Okay. A commentary, one scene, and not, two EPKs.
Not even an interactive menu?
Not even an interactive menu. Do you remember that? This menu is so inactive. You can't even press a button. It will just automatically play because Warner Brothers Blu-rays will automatically play.
Yeah. Do you remember when DVDs had interactive menu? As a special feature.
Subtitles. I get lucky to get cast bios.
God.
When you want to watch a biopic.
Have you ever used a biopic? Have you ever used BD Live?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the only person I know who ever used it.
I used it a bunch of times because they would put all special features that you can watch at the same time, and it's interesting.
All right.
Yeah, it's interesting for an idea and it never worked out. It was really slow. Also, I used to watch BD Live when I'd watch Jurassic Park because then I just enjoy BD more. He'd wake up and like, oh, someone's watching again. God damn it. I've got to put some trousers on and just wave at people. But, yep, here I am. I'm going to become important in the next franchise. For some reason, I'm now the bad guy. So me, BD Wong, I'm an actor. I'll take any role, but why are they writing it like this? There's no time for ideas, Johnny.
Well, is there time for rock and roller?
It's always time for rock and roller.
Let's rock and roll.
Grab our guns, our guys, and our girls. This is going to be a return to form, diamond form. The film took a total gross of $25.7 million worldwide. Seeing, and this is according to Wikipedia, but is incorrect, a modest return on the film's $18 million budget. They did not factor in that part.
Blimey.
The promotion. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's quite promising that they confirmed the sequel in the credits, though, isn't it?
Who is going to be... what about the sequel?
But you agree. Hold on. So you agree that they confirmed the sequel in the credits, yeah? Yeah,
I mean, well,
you'd agree there.
Not in the credits, but just before it goes to credits, it tells you that Johnny Archie and the Wild Bunch will return in the real rock and roller.
And that's a confirmation they confirmed, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to be on the right page there because I, as soon as the credits started, the first thing I did was googled rock and roller sequel.
Yeah. And then it said, "Are you sure? Does anyone know? Does anyone care?
Here's a number you can call."
Yeah, it's Samaritans.
So I've got a screen rant.
Johnny Archie and the Wild Bunch will be back in the real rock and roller.
Yeah. There's a first entry is a screen rant article. Rock and Roller 2, Will It Happen? Everything We Know, from the 14th of October 2023. So quite
Up to date. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really then getting into that post the Covenant spirit.
And then underneath, it's got the people also ask. So it's got, is there going to be
Operation Fortune Rouge de Gras get a sequel?
Is Rock and
Roller, I remember that title.
Is there going to be Rock and Roller 2? What happened to Stella in Rock and Roller? Do you ever see the painting in Rock and Roller? So I click on, is there going to be Rock and Roller 2? Mm. And it's got the Screen Rant article again. It's got a quote from the Screen Rant article. And it says, Rock and Roller 2 is not confirmed.
Oh, okay.
It is confirmed if you watch the film.
Well, according to both the audio commentary and an interview with Richie, the second film has been written and it is awaiting studio approval. Oh, so hurry up, Warner Brothers.
Let's look at...
I bet Zaslav is just like, yep, straight to the dungeons. Down there you go. Vaults.
Right, I'm on the...
I've deleted
the
your final draft project, Guy.
I'm... Hold on a sec.
I've saved 25 million in just pre-production bullshit with you.
I'm
yeah, we'll buy you another pub.
I'm on the Screen Rant article fully now.
Yes.
The summary says the real rock and roll was promised, but never.
No. After it. Not huh? Summary. It was after winter comes the spring. not summary.
It was promised at the end of, in the end credits, but over a decade later, its release looks unlikely.
The start, just before the end of the credits begin. I know. The scroll hasn't begun.
A recent lawsuit claiming that Guy Ritchie used someone's life for the movie script and that plot points were reused in The Gentleman has complicated matters. What? Okay. The original film and the group cast were unclear if it will ever happen, despite the lingering interest.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's champing at the bit. All over here is Rock and Roller 2, Real Rock and Roller, Rock and Roll Star. When are they going to come?
Oh, here we go. There's a heading here that says the latest Rock and Roller 2 news.
Yeah.
There's been no news regarding the latest Rock and Roller 2.
the only news is no news.
The Guy Ritchie sequel has been discussed recently. There are no ways that could cause issues for the director himself, and that's the legal issues. According to Mickey DeHara, who's Mickey DeHara?
The guy whose life is based on? He was the guy who stole a painting and then did some drugs and then danced around into Black Strobe song whilst Mark Strong sat in the corner and narrated for 5 hours.
The Gentleman used many plot points that were originally going to be used in the Rock and Roller sequel.
Wow, how good must that sequel have been then?
Hmm. Gentleman is widely regarded as one of Guy Ritchie's better movies in recent years.
Okay. Was a success.
Yeah.
It took like 18 million at the box office in the UK alone. Open New Year's Day, so that's not a stretch.
So we did get a sequel, and it was called The Gentleman, apparently.
Hmm.
Well, there we go. Cool. Tell me about the first time you saw Rock and Roller.
The first time I saw Rock and Roller, it was a surprise screening at Empire MovieCon 2008, the first ever MovieCon.
Oh, the surprise screening.
Chris Hewitt came out, and it was the surprise block, and he was like, hey, anyone guess what this is going to be?
Did everyone say fucking...
And then he presented it, and then you start hearing, and you start working out what it is. Like, okay, interesting. What choice?
Mm.
And then the film ends, and everyone's there, and then the dancing thing happens. And a couple of people kind of laugh at the dancing thing, and everyone else is kind of like, still going, is it? And then Mark Strong and Guy Ritchie come out, and kind of interested in Guy Ritchie talking, and we didn't really know who Mark Strong was at that point, some of us.
Hmm.
And then as soon as he mentions working on Seriana the year before, people start perking up and going, oh shit, yeah, that's who it is.
What were the suggestions for surprise film and before
I
it came out?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
My God, this is 16 years ago.
Well, I remember going to...
I was overwhelmed by the experience. Like, this is one of the few times at that point I'd ever been in London. Proper. Especially on my own.
Proper
central.
I remember going to a surprise screening or secret screening? No, surprise screening, right? London Film Festival.
Can't say one of those.
And I went to a secret screening at London Film Festival. And they
this was 2019?
No, it wasn't 2019. Was it 2019?
It would be 2019.
Yeah, I suppose it would have been.
It would be 2019. I know exactly what one you knew it, mate.
Yeah, and I got pissed off because they did the whole thing of what do you think it is?
What do you think it is? People yelling.
Yeah, and then whoever was hosting or whatever said, all right, enjoy.
The head of the festival at that point.
Yep, enjoy Cats. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I can't wait. In the first 5 minutes, I was like, this can't be Cats. This is it. And then it turned out to be...
Because all you heard is... And then I've done it again!
And then it just turned out to be some weird bloody... Adam Sandler film, which I was not into at the time, because I was like, where the fuck is my Cats movie? I was promised
What
Cats
do you mean? I'm pretty sure Sandy Wexler's been on Netflix for 2 years now. This can't be playing right now. This is bizarre. But you enjoy Beavis and Butthead in the credits.
So yeah, I was sat through the whole film going, I was promised Cats 2 seconds before this film started rolling. What the hell?
Yeah.
And then you made me see the light. See if I've seen it in the better.
You had to see it through. You had to see the light coming through the uncut gems.
Yeah.
To know how great Uncut Gems is, which you haven't mentioned, by the way.
Yeah.
That the specific Adam Sandler film of all films was Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
I was so pissed off. I remember going a few years before that and really hoping it was going to be Django Unchained.
Had it premiered at that point?
No.
No. Yeah.
I was like, you never know. They could like.
No, you do know. They do not get. They
I
do
was
not,
young and innocent back then.
They
I didn't
do not
know.
Get unless if it's not premiered, it's something basically BFI have funneled some money into and are desperate to push out.
Fair enough. Well, what else have I seen? I saw Sully was one of them.
I remember when that played. I would laugh quite a lot because I'd already seen it in Los Angeles.
Is there anything you would have changed about seeing it in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite cold out in September. I would have probably gone and seen it in July.
Hey, what a weird ending to that film.
I love it. Look, I love a punchline ending. It's like, it's...
But I don't for that film?
Any film. Okay, you know Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes.
For a previous episode. It lost the Oscar for a foreign language film, film in a foreign language, to the German film The Lives of Others.
All right.
A brilliant thriller. Drama, and that film, Pan's Labyrinth, ends quite sad.
Right.
The Lives of Others has a fucking punchline of an ending. You go through this 2 hours of like, oh, the world is horrible, and everyone's staring at each other in voyeurism, and this exploration of the secret police, and everything is bad in East Germany, and it's just miserable. And then it ends on a fucking joke, and it's just like. Yeah.
Well, you know the you Germans.
I love that. I tell it to you, but I want you to watch it.
All right. Well, you know the Germans are famous for their joke making skills.
Their sense of humor is probably
second to nine. So.
Yes. Anyway, secret
Rock
film surprise
and or roller. Oh yes. I don't know what other surprise.
So I saw it. So I saw Rock and Roller, and I
you corrected yourself there because you knew what I was going to do.
Yes, I knew Empire had given it 4 stars. They did mention that before the film began.
Right.
Chris did say it's a film we've given 4 stars to.
Okay.
I gave you a heads. Pardon me, a heads up on that one. I'm surprised a lot of people came out loving it because I came out and I didn't care for it, and that was because I knew it was an early screening. I hadn't had any actual proper reviews out at that point. That was the first time I sent a review to Harry Knowles.
To who?
Of Ain't It Cool News.
All right. And how much did that review get you?
Yep. But I was on the site. I was there.
Right.
Harry, here with some cool news. That's out from London. At a thing called MovieCon, they show Guy Ritchie's new film. Ooh. Here's an opinion. Ethan has a different kind of opinion. And then posted my review.
Oh.
And the next year, I did the same thing when I went to see Transformers 2 at the Rise, Revenge of the Fallen.
Right.
It came out in the UK a couple of days before America, so I could throw that over there in case they got posted. That's the twice I was on Ain't It Cool News. I can tell you that because we're not going to do an episode on Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
Please, no.
No, because we're going to just cover the entire franchise in one epic commentary track, which means I get to finally watch the Beast movie.
Beast movie.
I've not seen. What's it called? Last year's Transformers film.
Oh, I never saw that one.
I did see that. I saw like 5 seconds of a trailer once. It's like a robot gorilla in a waterfall. I know. I think Ralph Junior's in it.
Are they all in on Peacock.
They would be on the PP Plus.
Paramount Plus. Yeah.
Yeah, they climb the mountain.
Yeah.
They're there, and of course, you know, since Transformers. Or has him in there. You could also watch every episode of Frasier.
Oh, yes.
Which I believe is kind of technically canon. I mean, you remember when Kelsey Grammer was in Transformers Age of Extinction?
No.
No?
No.
No, he's one of the various bad guys. He's like, oh, we've got to stop this.
I just remember.
Get them down.
I remember dragging myself through.
Stage. Oh, good lord.
I remember dragging myself through all the Transformers movies in readiness for Bumblebee.
Good film.
Because my girl was in Bumblebee.
Pamela Adlon.
Huh?
Pamela Adlon is your girl. I respect that. I'm a Bobby Hill stan too. That boy is right.
And then I was watching it and I was like, oh, this is nothing to do with the entire franchise.
It is to do with the entire franchise. It's a prequel to that story.
It's not though, is it?
It is.
It doesn't, like, I'm sure there's like a couple of plot holes in it that don't align with the other Transformers films.
No. What do you say? Are you saying that just because Bumblebee came to Earth at that particular time, that Optimus Prime wasn't already there fighting the Nazis?
Wasn't Bumblebee supposed to be there? Yeah, wasn't Bumblebee in the fighting the Nazis or something?
I don't know. Watch that film again. I dare you.
I'm not.
I dare anyone to watch The Last Night again and tell me coherently anything. not like, you know, a plot point. Just any scene with its 50 edits and 3 aspect ratios. Tell me what the hell has just happened.
Rock and roll.
My grandmother, she's a tapsuit bitch.
What do you think was the painting? Because we never did find out.
About what?
The painting. What the painting, was. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a Russian lucky painting.
Right. So is it a painting inside of a bigger painting, which is inside of a bigger painting?
I am going to suggest it is one of the revolutionary minimalist designs.
Okay.
Of, is it Khrushchev? That kind of, what is it, Khrushchev? That kind of, the blacks and the reds. Oh, God. I did a whole fucking trailer on the revolution.
I think it's the portrait of Greg Davis from that one series of Taskmaster.
I think it's a portrait of Greg Davis on fire.
On fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's I like to think it's Whistler's mother with Mr. Bean's drawing over it. Do you think we'd ever find out in the sequel?
Well, in the sequel that we now know is The Gentleman.
Yes.
It is the hibachi-style grill table. So I'm guessing it is a painting, which is the blueprints of this table they would then make.
And
that's why it's so lucky, because like, this is going to make us some money. Rich people in London are going to sell this to other people at one of our bottomless parties. Tell Bertie. That's his name was Bertie in that film.
Halfway through this film,
yeah,
I said to you, do you know what? I might watch a couple more Guy Ritchie films tonight.
We were not halfway through this film. We were slightly over halfway through this film. I was surprised.
Yeah.
You were swept away again. I thought, well, you're not going on holiday. I know you're swept away schedule.
I'm always in holiday mood, though. So, yeah.
Well, you know what you do on a holiday.
Go on.
Celebrate. It's got Madonna in it.
I said I was thinking of watching some more Guy Ritchie films because at the moment my most watched director is Todd Phillips, and
of this year or in life?
Of this year.
Okay, you watched the G.G. Allen doc recently, didn't you?
The what?
Hated the G.G. Allen documentary.
No.
Todd Phillips' first film.
No.
Okay.
I've got Joker to rewatch before
Joker
2 comes out. Yeah,
that's basically the same thing, except that this one was a documentary.
Do you know what
Phillips' first film was?
Was it not Road Trip or something like that? No?
No,
not Hall Pass.
I did just say it's hated, G.G. Allen and the murder.
I thought you were... Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
G.G. Allen was a punk artist who would sing and yell and cut himself and punch people and shit and piss on stage.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
And, you know, Todd Phillips, while he was a student, made the film because he wanted to make a documentary on this guy because, you know, it's aggressive and angry and, you know, counterculture. That's what I like. Right? Oh. Todd Phillips, who did Starsky and Hutch.
Did he do Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah. And so he does that and, you know, ends with, according to the thing, after the credits, the funeral and corpse are briefly included. Director of School for Scoundrels.
I might rewatch
it's punk rock, isn't it? Wow, look at him hanging out there with his due date.
Starsky and Hutch is quite good. I quite enjoy Starsky and Hutch because it's directed by Todd Phillips, my favourite director this year.
There's a lot of good comedy actors trying their hardest to find something to pull. He's doing the least effort possible. Todd Phillips is not good.
I think he's going to be my most watched director of the year. I mean, he is, but I think he's going to stay my most watched director. When you mentioned that, I'm like, oh, I haven't watched Darcy and Hutch in ages. Maybe I should rewatch that. And I've got to rewatch Joker before Joker 2 comes out. He's doing Joker 2, right? Joker Voila Do. Is he?
I hate cinema.
Is he? It is him still doing it, right?
Yeah, of course it's him.
I thought maybe Martin Scorsese's doing it. I don't know.
No, he was trying to, you know, get Maestro off the ground, and then he spent time hanging out with his daughter making TikToks because that's more important than cinema than Joker 2. He knows TikTok is a veritable place to put cinema in its rightful heirs rather than making a film follow-up to Joker.
I'm quite excited for Joker for while I do. I
hate everything.
Musical, Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn.
Okay, but here's the problem here.
Go on.
It's a film called Joker.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I like the first Joker.
Well, you're wrong. Everyone else is wrong. The $1 billion is wrong.
I mean, I don't think it deserves that big a... I don't think it deserved that big an audience. But I liked it as a nice little indie kind of thing.
It's not an indie kind of thing.
If I know.
16 to 80 million, it's not an indie kind of thing.
I know, but it looked like it should have been. And it's like,
yeah, because it looked like shit. It genuinely looks fucking ugly.
I think we need more optimism in your cinematic life. We need to watch Joker.
If we need more optimism, I think we should get some people in the industry who give a fuck about the industry and the art form to be front-running this thing. There's no time for ideas.
Well, there is ideas like Real Rock and Roller, and they just don't come through.
David Coates said, there's no time for ideas. That's why David Leitch had to leave Jurassic World, whatever.
Uh-huh.
No time for ideas. Got to get Gareth Edwards in instead.
Yeah, but they also said there was no time to die, and look what happened. Hmm? Yeah.
Oh, but
they found the time.
Do we know? Well, yeah, 2 hours and 40 fucking minutes.
I'm still shocked at that. I am still, flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted at the one thing that Danny Boyle quit the project because they can't do.
I'd never heard that before.
I can't believe you hadn't heard that. That was literally the news. Like, one day it was Danny Boyle leaves project over creative differences. And then the next day it was because they're thinking this is the end. And Danny Boyle was like, we can't kill James Bond off. And then it flew under the radar, it seemed, for years.
Yeah.
Are they going to do it? Yeah, of course they're going to do it. They hired a go-to money man director, someone who will just do their work for them. Of course. Gareth Edwards is going to do the new Jurassic Park film in Empire's movie, big screen.
Yeah.
I trod on his foot as I was trying to make my way to the Adult Swim event that was then cancelled, so it didn't even fucking matter. So when you see a dinosaur tread on someone, know that that's him recreating that moment. That I assume still links this with him as it does me whenever I saw Godzilla and thought, yes, thank God I trod on his foot, or when I saw Rogue One and then I thought I like 3/4 of that and I'm glad I trod on 1/4 of that foot. And then when I saw the creator and thought, I trod on that foot so fucking hard, I'm proud of it. Again, with the creator, there's no time for ideas. So speaking of no time for ideas, Rock and Roller.
Yeah.
Seen Departed.
Yeah.
Have you seen,
I didn't know that's where it's going to go.
Eternal Affairs?
No, but I know.
Which one is it?
It's basically Infernal, isn't it?
Is it Infernal? I can never tell. One of them's a Richard Gere film. One of them's a Hong Kong movie.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah. Yes, so you've seen that, and you know it's adapted from that. And then Guy Ritchie saw that and figured, I'll do exactly the same thing with the same plot.
Yeah, but this is based on a true story, isn't it? So, real man.
No, the true story of Jack Nicholson reading a script for The Departed going, yeah, but what if I don't try a Boston accent? That's great. Hey, we got to stop shooting. The lake is a plane.
I think it started off quite well.
It did. Yeah, 5 minutes of Mark Strong talking. Great.
Yeah.
Problem is, Mark Strong talks a lot. What happens in the film that you see on screen?
Hey?
Plot-wise.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Everything is monologue.
Yeah.
Or talk. It's just telling. It's people sitting down tell you a story.
I wish they'd gone harder with the Tom Hardy, Jared Butler stuff.
What's the Tom Hardy, Jared Butler stuff? Let's catch people up who would not watch this film because they're smart.
So Tom Hardy is about to go to prison.
Tom Hardy is Handsome Bob. Let's say that for a record. He's not Handsome Bob.
He's not about to go to prison. He's about to go to court. But
yes, it's for his sentencing.
For his sentencing, that was it. Yeah, because I was like, it's
5 years. He's supposed to have.
Yeah, that was what it was. So the day before, they're going off to a big party. They've ordered.
Who's going?
Jared Butler. One two.
Driving and Handsome Bob
are driving to this big party they've got organised for him.
Got some escorts.
They've got twin escorts. Expensive twin escorts.
Bunch of drinks.
Loads of drugs. And all I could think is he going to turn up to court hungover and still drugged
kind
up?
Kind of out of it and kind of make a scene.
Yeah. And then Tom Hardy Handsome Bob turns to 1-2 and says, I don't want those.
I don't want those girls.
And I said jokingly, I want you.
Can I say it like Joker?
I want you.
No, say it like Joker.
I want you. I don't know how to say it like Joker.
Well, they'd laugh.
Hold on a sec.
And then he closes, then Butler's like, well, hey, what? You fucking gets out the car, doesn't walk around, like, oh, yeah, fucking dirty bastard. Gets back in and goes, all right.
And then, he can't, the scene ends with him.
Sorry, I let the scene run on into the version I was it's Andrew Hayes Rock and Roller.
The scene ends with him going, oh, what would you want to do to me? Or what would you want, you know? And we don't see any more. And then the next day comes and, you know, everyone's going, oh, you weren't at the court. Where were you? I thought you loved him. And he was like, what the fuck did you say? And I thought it was just that. And then it kind of cuts. Well, no, it doesn't even cut back because we see it at the end in the credits.
They do have a brief cut to it because Bumble sits down and says, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, Tom Hardy's words. Survived his prison sentence and he's not going to prison anymore. And now Jared Butler's annoyed because he did what he did because he thought he was going away for 5 years. And then I was like, now that's interesting. And then I thought it was going to be like leading into Jared Butler realizes he's loved Handsome Bob all this time. And he's like, do you know what? I want to do it again. But then it turns out in the biggest, anti-climax.
Yeah, there was no climax in that.
Yeah, it was just a little old dance.
A little slow dance.
Hoo-hoo.
This is the year after 300 as well, so you know, this is all prime for Jared Butler to just go full, the men love me. Let's do it. And of course, Tom Hardy used to be painting those thirst trap pics of him on MySpace.
God, yeah.
So,
about that.
I mean, why not just have it full on? But no, Guy Ritchie can't dare to have that. This is as close to woke as Guy Ritchie will go when it comes to gay shit.
In my head, I had the scene from I had the scene from Inglourious Basterds. You know, where it quickly cuts away, and I want to say it's not Goebbels. Is it Goebbels? Goebbels and his wife.
I try to remember the scene you're talking about here.
Oh, it's when he's first getting introduced into the film, and they say, "Oh, this is I think it's Goebbels." They say, "This is Goebbels, and this is his wife," and then it suddenly cuts.
No, it's not his wife. It's his secretary.
His secretary. Right? Yeah, sorry.
Thingy from Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And then it suddenly cuts away for like. Yeah. That's what I was
waiting. Geomatics, as we call it in the industry.
That's what I was waiting for. That's what I was expecting.
You do get a flash cut.
Oh, yeah, but that's that's a straight couple.
Real I know. It's so fucking cishet.
Yeah, so cishet.
God.
So stupid.
It's like it's a guy movie.
That was Rock and Roller.
You haven't talked about that. You haven't talked about Tom Wilkinson, goodness sake.
Yeah, but Tom Wilkinson doesn't slow dance with Tom Hardy. Two
he
Toms.
Could. Oh. He could have. He could do anything. Tom Wilkinson, just incredible performer. And this is one of his great performances. He is on fire the entire film.
Yeah, he is quite. I mean, I really liked him in Batman Begins.
Who does he play in Batman Begins?
Falcone.
First name, please?
Carmine Falcone.
Yeah. Oh, you just give him his proper respect.
Yeah, sorry.
And how does Tom Wilkinson sound as Carmine Falcone in Batman Begins?
The bat. Yeah, like that.
Oh, you think you can come out here and do that? He's doing that weird. New York from an English perspective.
I'm surprised you said this is his best performance. I'm not saying it's bad.
I think it's one of his best.
Okay,
well, he gets to do a lot of
best.
No, it's one of those. It's one of those times when he really gets to be a firebrand. He comes out swinging. He's doing all sorts of crazy big reaches, and he's just playing around. He is. It's Michael Gambon in The Cook, the Thief, his wife and her lover.
He did come out swinging at the end of Monty Python. The full Monty Python.
Yeah, and he now did come out swinging. Completely naked.
Exactly. but no, he is rather good in this. I thought.
What if the audience at the end of the full Monty are slapped in the face with their dead fish?
Oh,
it's a bunch of fish slapping. if we just freeze frames on them doing that thing, and instead of the music and the cheers, all you hear is, and it's just
the only way
they just slap themselves around.
The fish slapping it becomes 3D when Lou in the back of row is just throwing the fish. Is it Lou?
New Zealand.
Yeah, that's it. New Zealand Muppets.
You say the Muppets are dead.
They pretty much are.
They never felt a thing.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, when Tom Wilkinson gets
Lenny
crippled on the golf course.
On the golf course.
I thought he was gonna be killed there and then. Sure. And I'm pretty sure it does like cut away and you don't see the end of that scene, right?
No, he gets beaten up, and then the guy says, "This is the ninth hole. You're gonna give me my money. You're gonna give me everything I require. It's gonna be a long walk, a long crawl for you." It's gonna be a long crawl. Okay. He's gonna leave him there.
What you're getting confused with is
there's a sequence in which Gerard Butler, as 1-2, is listening to music. Some Russians come in with knives, and then it cuts away from them, and then it comes back, and Mark Strong finds them half naked, tying him down, and getting ready to do some knife shit, and then you just cut away to some gunshots, and then he says, "I've wrapped him in carpet." But I don't know why he said that. There's no point in saying that if you then reveal him later on anyway in front of Tom Wilkinson's character. There's no point in using any kind of anything going on. It's all just a clusterfuck of, "Aren't we fun? We're doing poetry and stuff."
Yeah, it is a bit of a clusterfuck. I think that's what happened in the second half. It became a bit of a clusterfuck. Like from about 2 seconds after I said, "Oh, I might watch more Guy Ritchie."
Yeah.
The film just turned and went, really?
It went from being, "Oh, it's Lockstock," to, "Oh, it's Revolver."
See, I've not seen Lockstock.
No, but Lockstock, whilst it's got a lot of things going on, it's at its core, like, here's some things. And you're just having a good time hanging out with these people doing stupid shit. And Rob Brydon.
Rob Brydon? What?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to watch Lockstock. I didn't know there's a Ken in Lockstock.
No, his name's Rob Brydon.
Remember when he turned up as Ken?
No.
Sugar Daddy Ken.
Rob Brydon from The Trip. The character Rob Brydon.
Yeah. Oh, the character.
The character of Rob Brydon from The Trip. And the character of Rob Brydon from Rob Brydon's Annually Retentive. The character.
Is it just Uncle Bryn?
I don't know what that means. Is that his character in Barbie?
No, it's his character in Gavin and Stacey.
In Marion and Jeff, yeah.
You should watch Gavin and Stacey. I know it's got James Corden. It's the only James Corden thing I can stand in.
It's got Horn and Corden.
True.
And remember when Horn and Corden had a sketch show on BBC Three?
I do. I used to watch it
Because I watched that, and so I don't ever need to see them together. I mean, one of the movie cons, they had a clip and an introduction of lesbian vampire killers. So I never
saw that.
Vin and Stacey, because I've seen a clip from lesbian vampire killers.
Oh, no, you really should watch.
No, because I've seen a bit of lesbian vampire killers, and that is everything I need to know.
Oh, no, you really should. Because this is Corden and Ruth Jones writing together.
Yes, but I don't know what Ruth Jones is like.
Yeah, so...
But I know what James Corden is like.
Yeah, but maybe she reins him in. And yeah, I think you should watch one or two episodes.
I will watch the third episode of series two and the finale. How's that?
No, third episode of series three. Because I think that's good.
I refuse to do anything in series three unless it's a finale. Because at that point, they've already run out of storylines. And so they're just kind of running their wills until the end. That's what every show is. Every show should be 4 episodes long and basically be a movie that they've just stretched out a little too long.
So like, is it Blackberry? No. Uber, the movie. Or...
I'm talking about every single television show now. It's like, it's 5 episodes. Why not a movie?
Yeah, true. I do kind of miss 22, 24 episode seasons now.
Yeah, exactly.
When it first happened,
just do things.
When it first happened and they went down to like 10 or 12, it was like, oh, this is nice, because they've whittled it down and they've
cut a lot of the fat. They were still producing in that mindset of creating a lot. But then now they're like, oh, we don't need to think of ideas that need to sustain themselves so long. So their ideas get shorter.
Yeah.
What you need to do is just have the big ideas, but then shorten the runtime. And so, like, okay, so every episode needs to have 5 ideas. Great, that keeps you excited.
How many episodes would the Rock and Roller TV show be? Because it's going to happen.
The Rock and Roller TV show should probably be an 8-episode series, but 8 episodes are about, I'd say, 7 to 12 minutes long each. And we'll be able to be both watched vertically and horizontally. Landscape and portrait.
And where are you thinking?
Oh, like, I think BBC, watching on my channel. Phone.
No, like, you know.
Oh.
I it feels to me like BBC Two.
No, I want to create a new streaming platform with my friend Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Rock and roller streamer.
Yeah.
Rock and streamer.
Rock and Quibi.
Rock and we're
going to bring Quibi back just for Rock and Roller. Everyone's been gagging for it, I've heard. Everyone's talking about it. Sequel. It's going to come.
I mean, we're all going to.
You haven't mentioned, by the way.
I haven't mentioned a lot, but go on.
The important parts of this film.
There are important parts?
I mean, yes, so Jim Rosten plays a secretary to Chris Ludacris Bridges and Jeremy Piven, who are running a bunch of music venues in London. Yeah. Toby Kebbell is a dead rock star, apparently.
Toby Kebbell, who I recognise.
An hour and 30 minutes into the film?
An hour and 6 minutes.
Okay.
Well, not that bad.
I know, it felt long.
I couldn't believe it. I was...
What did you say?
I just burst out laughing. I was like, do you know what? I've just realised. Oh, God. He's pretty good, though.
You just realised what? You haven't told the audience what you just realised.
That's Toby Kebbell in front of me on the screen right now.
Now, who's the first person you see in this film?
You'll see him.
Who's dancing around,
yeah,
smoking, and then turns to the camera with a gun.
Yep.
Yeah. Does the pose from the poster. Yep. First person you see.
Yep.
That took you an hour and 5 minutes longer. 65 minutes later, you're like, oh, there he is. Now, I could be forgiven when I watched Bone Tomahawk.
Right.
And watched it, and the posse, about 50 minutes into the film, finally started their adventure out of town. And I was looking at the posse they had and said, I'm pretty sure I thought Richard Jenkins was in this cast. And then looked and realised, oh, behind that gigantic amount of hair and beard and that strange voice, he's doing one of these voices. So, oh, there's Richard Jenkins. He's hiding in plain sight.
That's just his normal voice. That was a documentary, did you not know?
Oh, boy. Well, I've got some bad news for a lot of people. Oh, boy.
I mean, I didn't mention those people. I mean, I should have mentioned Toby Kebbell, But yeah, again,
you also have to get ludicrous for me. What are Bridges and Pippen up to?
I didn't notice Toby Kebbell until an hour and 6 minutes in, so I wasn't going to mention Toby Kebbell until an hour and 6 minutes in.
Okay,
just to be consistent. The other two, they are, you know, who cares?
Well, they're there, and they're going to be there for the sequel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because, obviously, the Johnny character, your character survives, and goes on to intend to become a big, full-on London gangster, and he's got these friends.
A real rock and roller, if you will.
Yeah. And, of course, Gemma Arterton, who is there, handing out beers and collecting glasses around the office for some reason.
Madame Bovary herself. Is that the film?
Gemma Bovary. Tamara Madame Drew, maybe.
Madame Tamara Drew.
Song for Mario. Prince of Persia's Own. Clash of the Titans. That's an Irish film, isn't it?
To be sure.
Yeah, Clash of the Titans.
Well.
Are you excited for Irish Wish? Irish Wish?
Yeah.
Is that with the Disney Plus' new film?
No.
They've just redone Wish, but they've made it with...
No, do you not know what
Irish Wish is? And Connor Farrell just swearing at each other the entire time. I was like, oh, this is so much more interesting than whatever they made last time.
It comes out on March 15th, 2 days before St. Patrick's Day, which is kind of annoying because it means you have to wait 2 days before you can watch it.
March 15th?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to think, because Dune's next week.
No, it's not.
Cinema releases.
Far too high hopes.
Godzilla X Kong?
It's not a cinema release. You can watch it from the comfort of your own home on Netflix.
Okay, well, I won't be watching this, whatever it is then, because I'm sure it's content.
Starring Lindsay Lohan.
From the Mean Girls musical?
Yes. Have you not seen the trailer for it?
I am wildly offline.
Except
for anything Madam Web, obviously. That's shit's my jam. I'll stand for Dakota.
Go on. Because she can. Oh. She will web.
It's actually Ellen. That's not strictly true. Broke down the boss.
Oh, man. So, Irish Wish. Which just makes me want to try to say Irish Wish Watch.
Yeah, have an Irish Wish Whiskey Watch.
Is Lindsay Lohan goes to visits Ireland to see for the wedding of, I think it's her friend and a guy she's always had like a bit of a crush on. Are they the same person?
The friend and the guy?
No. He's like the one that got away, and then she sits in front of a pond or a fountain or something, and she makes a wish, an Irish wish, because she's from Ireland.
Does she urinate in the fountain at the same time as
No, well? Only.
If only it was a change-up.
And she wishes that she could she could be the one marrying him instead. But also, on the way into the wedding, on the coach, she has a little meet-cute with another fella.
It's all cishet again.
So she wishes she wishes she could be the one marrying this fella that was the one that got away, and then she wakes up the next day and she's in bed with him, and she thinks, oh god, I've
ruined the wedding.
Yeah.
So then the bride
knocks on the door, the best friend bride knocks on the door, and she goes, oh, have you seen whatever his name? And she's like, oh no, I've not. And then he comes to the door, I'm right here, what are you on about? And
I'm right here, what are you on about?
Turns out it's her wedding now, it's not a friend's wedding. But does she love him? Now that she's closer to him, does she love him?
Is the one that got away Irish?
I don't think so.
Is the best friend Irish?
I don't know.
Then why are they having the wedding in Ireland? And then why would, if it swaps, they also have the wedding in Ireland? That seems so strangely specific to one thing that might have, you know, butterfly affected when they changed the things.
Oh, it would have been great if she woke up next day with an Irish accent.
It would be really wild.
That's why I watched.
She would still get jet lagged because she's on mountain time.
That's why I watched the trailer, really, in the hopes that she'd have an Irish accent, but I don't think she does. If she does, it's a really bad Irish accent.
A bit like Gerard Butler's Cockney accent in this film.
True. And it all comes back.
It all sounds like that. Is that right? No English person sounds like that. That's a weird Cockney.
Do you have Netflix anymore?
Apples and pears. I do. I have a shed.
I do.
Who has, I don't know what it, I think it's his mobile phone or something that has a deal. Right. Something like that. So yeah, I watch stuff on Netflix still.
So we can watch it together?
No.
March 15th. It's a date.
Why are you talking about this when we're talking about rock and roll?
I don't know.
No, Matt King.
Oh, Matt King. Yeah.
He played Cookie. Remember when he played Cookie?
Super Hands. Character. Super Cookie. Yeah. And his name reveal was quite late into the film, wasn't it?
Yep.
And it was just
Cookie. And I was like, oh, I'm Cookie. I was like, well, why is he part of the gang? And he's important to something. He's got nothing to do with that. And what about Dewey Mystery? What's Dewey Mystery up to? I know, it's a mystery.
Yeah, this film's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, it's almost like here's a bunch of ideas, but we haven't really thrown them together. We've threaded them that it sounds smart if you overtalk it, but if you just look at it, it's just nothing.
And there we go.
I kind of based part of my play around that prospect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You haven't read The Fox and Hounds yet, have you?
No, not read a lot.
Well, I gave you the play last year.
I know.
The performance.
Yep, I'm an awful friend and I hate reading. And
it's all
I get
all
nervous because I don't
during the change of times and
I get nervous about giving feedback because like I can't write a play, I can't write a book, and then you give me stuff and I'm like, I have no like standing to offer any opinion because
I don't have standing to offer already, opinion.
You've already done so much more than I could ever do.
And.
This is turning into a therapy session.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. You have an opinion, and that opinion can stem to something else. And you go, oh, right. No, I do understand. You may not be able to do something, but you can still understand something, right?
I wouldn't go that far.
You can't do things scientists do, but you can understand the basics of the building blocks of our existence, right?
I understand nothing now because I'm in Ireland, and your English accent doesn't come through properly. I'm just...
You don't have to be a scientist, but you can still understand the building blocks of the foundations of humanity, the periodic table.
Yeah? I've just been improving this entire podcast, hoping that I'm getting your responses right.
So what you really understand is that you don't need to fully comprehend yourself the same level as everybody else. As long as you have a basic understanding and a good heart, you get fine.
Aw.
Yeah?
You'll be grand, sure. There's a lot I need to do, a lot I need to read, a lot I need to get down to writing myself, and instead I watch stuff.
But you watch films and you watch TV and you understand what you like and you don't like about it, and that's all it matters. It's not about, this isn't, was this a important piece of work for the world? This is, are you movie mad?
No, not for this one, not for this particular one.
Are you mad you watched Rock and Roller, the first of a trilogy?
Yeah, I'm mad I don't get to see the rest of the trilogy. I was more mad in the second half than I was in the first.
When you realised it didn't have prospects, it just had blobs of ideas.
I tell you what I was movie mad for, though, was The Gentleman.
The Gentleman.
Until next time.
Jesus Christ! What is wrong with you, boy?
Feck knows.
You like your Colin Farrell when he says the racist things, don't you?
To be sure.
He's all making him laughing at Henry Golden for being Chinese or something. He's like, oh, that's such a name. That sounds like fuck or something, doesn't it? He's like, isn't it funny? It sounds like fuck you. It's like, ha ha ha. Because different names from different cultures sound like things in our language. Ha ha ha.
Well, that's the premise. Where can we find you?
Find me? Lamenting about the death of time for ideas. There's no time for ideas.
No time for ideas. There is time to die.
There is no time.
No time to die.
To die. Available now. I am on Instagram. I think it's Real Ethan Runt.
I believe it is. There's only one Real Ethan Runt.
You can see me there and you can follow my journey. I'm slowly cobbling together a book. I don't know if it'll ever get published.
I'll publish it.
Well, okay. I've already had a small print opportunity. But I would like a...
Large print.
Braille
print.
I want my struggle-sighted people to be able to read it.
Yes.
Because it's made for the older person.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know...
Written by an older person.
It's an old people book. It's a 101-year-old man who walks out the window and realizes he hates the life, and then walks back in the window and goes, he really hates the rooms, and walks out the window again. He goes, like, fuck it all, and he jumps out the building.
It's a long title, but it's
clever. Yeah, no, I think it just about fits on the cover if it's long print.
True.
Well, fucked if it's the travel size. Where can I find you?
You can find me at movie_Matt on Instagram.
Okay.
I think.
It's your job.
Fine, hold on. I like to hope that I've got movie mad, but I never do.
I like to move it.
movie underscore mad on Instagram, yeah, and on X, which I lurk around on. Also on Threads,
you and Ty West.
You can find us at movie.
Your letterboxed.
Yeah, my letterboxed is
movie.
I think that's, yeah, my letterboxed.
I found you on there quite.
Yeah.
I found you by looking at the activity on Madam Web from my friends.
Brilliant. You can find my star ratings. I don't do reviews. I used to, but I don't. Whatever film I'm watching.
You can find me on Letterboxd at Ethan Runton. You won't find star ratings, but you will find reviews.
Yes.
Sometimes they'll be dry, sometimes they're quite long.
Yeah. And you can find us at RUMovie_Mad on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can email us at
RUMovieMad@hotmail.com.
@hotmail.com. Yep.
Get in touch.
What is next?
Next
in life.
In March, we're doing
June 2.
Something I've been wanting to do for a very fucking long time.
Okay.
We are doing the first Blu-ray I ever bought.
Oh, Sucker Punch. Which is, everyone's first Blu-ray is Sucker Punch.
Why would the first Sucker Blu-ray I ever bought be in 2011? What is wrong with you? This is a 2008 January release. So this was, so May 2008 by the time I got my PlayStation 3 for my 18th birthday.
Ah.
I had a Blu-ray player. I'll give you a hint.
Ooh,
it's got a couple of iconic actors in it. It's got at least two dead actors in it, and the director has since passed. This was the director's last film. The director has a legacy.
Okay, I'm just going back to check. Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen this film since one of the actors died, and it's really worrying because I know the character and the actor share a particular situation in this film, and it's going to be awkward to watch again, and I'm going to cry.
I was curious why you put this film on the list, because I've heard the title, but I know nothing about the film.
Yeah.
And until now, I thought the one thing I did know about the film, turns out it's wrong, because Scorsese isn't dead.
Oh, wow. At time of recording, Scorsese is thankfully still alive and well, unlike, said, alas, cinema.
You said the director of our next episode is dead, so
yes,
it's not a Scorsese film.
No, it's not.
That narrows down your guesses, dear listener.
Sit in lament. Are You Movie Mad is part of the Podnose Network, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. Produced and edited by Andrew Jones, executive producer George Grimwood. To find out more about Podnose's network, go to www.podnose.com.